Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the early line right here on Sports Grid. Hour number two on this Wednesday morning. College basketball set to take center stage. But first, as we make our transition away from football, yesterday, Donnie, massive news in the football world. Some headlines from the USFL, a big time draft. Superstars left and right. Clayton Thorson, Shea Patterson, Jordan Te'amu. DRS, you sound like you're going to be a big fan, big proponent of the USFL. That's what I'm hearing, at least there, Donnie.
I want to preface this by saying there is not a person walking this planet that loves football more than DRS. But I love good football, and I preface this by saying I played Division III football. Nobody wanted to watch us play football, and they were exactly correct because it wasn't Division II, it wasn't Division I, it wasn't Alabama. It's a lower grade of football. I love football. I played and nobody watched. Now, I would say this. The USFL, sure, they might love football, but nobody's going to watch. Oh, I love these startup leagues. Let me tell you something about football here. It starts at the quarterback position. It's why in the NFL, you can't lay a finger on a quarterback because if quarterbacks get hurt, the product stinks. So yesterday, the USFL has their draft, and their number one overall draft pick wasn't like, hey, you know what? Let's see if we can sign away Tom Brady now because he just retired here. Let's see if we can go after Aaron Rodgers having a little bit of issues. We'll pay him more money than God here just to get some good, you know, productivity here on the league. And your number one draft pick was Shea Patterson, and the number two draft pick was Jordan Te'amu, and the number three was Brian Scott. Oh, yeah, number four was Ben Holmes. Might as well be Ben Scott Stevens here at the grid that got number four overall.
Wow.
What are we doing? Shea Dub, what are we doing here in this league? Are you telling me? So basically what you're saying, they just started a league, and the best player in that league is Shea Patterson? What do I give it, 2-3 weeks before they're bankrupt? You got to be kidding me, USFL.
No, I think Donnie's got it all wrong here, man. And listen, sometimes people miss. I mean, Donnie, now, the Philadelphia Stars. So, like, you know, Brian Scott, right? Now, Donnie, right?
Out of Occidental College. I got a missed call from 215 yesterday. I should have picked up because I'm scrolling through right now. Around 2-3. Where's my name on this list? I can perform in this league, KW.
But Donnie, I'm reading a little breakdown here of Brian Scott. Tabbed as the quote, Aaron Rodgers of Division III. I think the Philadelphia Stars might be on their way, Donnie. I mean, are we sure that we're not taking a look at the right guys? I mean, Donnie, the Houston Gamblers. I'm pretty sure Gabe Morenci's on the team. I'm almost positive of it. You can't be called the Houston Gamblers and not. I mean, the Birmingham Stallions. I mean, the Stallions are going to get in the mix here, Donnie. Pittsburgh Maulers. I assume, like, Donnie, is it? Here's my thing, man. If I'm going to have one problem with the USFL, this is going to be my only problem. Pittsburgh Maulers, you can't have red as your colorway, man. I mean, have you not been paying attention to the whole city? What, Donnie, did the rest of the Pittsburgh team say, no, you don't get to wear black and gold to the Maulers? Donnie, what's the Maulers are being slandered.
I mean, the only good thing about it is the radio audience isn't listening at this point right now, so we can slander the USFL here for at least another 30 seconds. But hold on now. The number three overall pick in the draft was a D3 quarterback, and I just looked, he's like 28 years old. Where was he the last 5 years? What is this league? What do you mean he's 28? What is this?
I don't understand how the Aaron Rodgers of Division III didn't get a taste of NFL action.
How about his brother? Also, where's Jordan Rodgers? That is, I don't even know his brother's name. I'm just using names out here, you know? What is his brother's name?
I think you're on the right track there. I like the idea that the radio audience though, like if we like no. they like can't listen to USFL slander, right? Like that's unacceptable. Radio audience
hey,
in the back
San
here. Who's that impacting? Appreciate everybody tuning in to Sports Grid Radio, checking out the early line. It's Kevin Walsh and Stein Rideside. We've been saying some really great takes, important topics. Is what we've been delivering.
San Antonio? Like I don't even know.
Did you just make that up? Who's even the San Antonio team?
I just heard the Gamblers. I thought it was maybe the San Antonio Gamblers, but I could be wrong here.
No, it's the Houston Gamblers. Now, Donnie, do you go with the New Jersey Generals, or are you going to cheer for the Philadelphia Stars? I mean, are you going to line up the futures market here and knock
it
down? What's the deal?
Is that where Ben Holmes, Scott Stevens went to the Generals? Is that what I'm seeing here?
I heard Ben Holmes is going to be on TMA today. Is that
Ooh.
True? A little guess.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some research.
We probably line
this.
Him up. I mean, here's the thing, Donnie. Listen, here's my thing with the USFL. It's all fun and games until it's mid-May, right? Baseball still not in action. And I'm asking you, who do you like today? Gamblers plus the points, or are you laying it down with the Michigan Panthers, DRS? I mean, you're gonna end up breaking it down.
I like two total overs. Yeah, I'm gonna break down unders. And what's the over under in this league making it 3.5 weeks? I'm taking the under on this one.
Nah, I got over, man. I'm gonna buy Donnie a nice hat for the Philadelphia Stars. Maybe a Ben Holmes jersey for the Generals. And well, Donnie, you can do. You know what we'll do? We'll get all eight teams, Donnie. It won't be all too expensive. We'll get all eight hats, and you can do a reveal like a high school kid picking their college, and you can let us know who you're going to be a fan of in the USFL.
You got those hats from Sherapan, probably, right? I assume Sherapan probably already has a nice little, you know, couple hats out here on here. You know, he's listening.
I got to think that Dave is somehow a part owner of one of these teams. He's going to be on the broadcast for one of these games here. Hey, you want me in a chair, man? I'll come call this game right. You want me to come break this down? I got you right now. Dave Sherapan will help the people out that can sing. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming back. It's college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball preview time here on the early line. And we begin with probably the most anticipated game of the college basketball season that will not be featuring a ranked side on the court. Michigan Rutgers, game number one post Juwan Howard suspension here. And it is still a spot where we are seeing Michigan as the favorites for this basketball game, as anticipated. But they play a Rutgers team, Donnie, that has put a bunch of good results up on the board and have been very good at covering numbers recently. The Wolverines are laying 5, the total 135.5. What's the anticipation for this game tonight?
I got to tell you, you know, usually you're saying to try to fade away on Michigan, saying, hey, you know, suspensions here, going to miss a good basketball player in this one and your head coach. And to be honest with you, I usually like to go against those trends. But I'm drawn to Rutgers here in this game. I really am, because it's not so much where you just try to look at the names and be like, hey, Michigan's going to be able to handle Rutgers. They're at home, and that's what makes the most sense. But Michigan, known for its defense in the past, Kevin, 11 out of 14 teams in the Big Ten have on defensive efficiency here. Now, also trying to take a look at what makes sense in this game, Rutgers, who is 12th in conference play at volume from behind the three-point line, going up against a Michigan defense who's number 3 at chasing you off. So you're like, hey, that sort of makes some sense right here. But take a look at the point distribution here. Two-pointers, Kevin. 4th, which means inside the arc here. They're 4th in conference play at scoring inside the arc, which is Rutgers. And if you take a look here at Michigan, they're 3rd at letting you score inside of the three-point line. So even though Rutgers, who actually shoots 38%, from three-point range, doesn't shoot a lot of volume. When they do, they actually make those, but more likely scoring inside, which is fast breaks, you know, getting off the three-point line, two-on-ones, all that stuff factors in. But take a look what Michigan has to basketball. Pretty good on offense, top five team here in conference playing efficiency, but also Rutgers defense here, Kevin, very good as well. And take a look at some of these, you know, coming into the game. Rutgers lost their last game to Purdue, but this is a really good basketball team. They're 10-6 in conference play, and if you look at Michigan, sitting at 8-7. So already Rutgers with a better profile in Big Ten play than Michigan does, which is pretty crazy to look at. And also, take a look here. Michigan on offense, Kevin. We talk about it so many, maybe we'll touch on that Virginia team again. They're 13th in conference play at volume from behind the three-point line. Why does this make a big difference? The number one team that allows you to get shots up behind the three-point line is Rutgers defense. So Michigan might not be able to take advantage of that. Now, take a look at this, Kevin. Another thing that swings me in the way of Rutgers here, point distribution. Number one in the Big Ten, Michigan at scoring inside of the arc. But take a look at this. 11th in conference at giving up points inside the arc is Rutgers. Is this a good matchup for Rutgers here on both offensive and defensively? I think so. I'm leaning towards the dog here with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights tonight versus the Michigan Wolverines.
I got to tell you, folks, that's not good news for Michigan. It's not. Now, in terms of the spread, right, you want to talk about some trends. Rutgers, Donnie, 10-3 against the number this season as a dog. Michigan, 3-7 this year as a home favorite. Backing the Scarlet Knights with the points there seemingly will make a lot of sense. The thing for Michigan, though, is they're at a point in time, Donnie, where you can win the game by one. You have to win the basketball game here. This is the last point I'll ask you when it comes to this game, though, Donnie, right? Juwan Howard not being on the sideline, more inclined to bet Rutgers, Michigan, or really no difference when you're breaking down this game and choosing a side?
Zero difference whatsoever. Phil Martelli is going to be a fine, capable head coach on the sideline. X and O guys. There's a reason why Phil Martelli was brought in on that bench, because he's the seasoned pro that Juwan Howard can bounce ideas off of. Absolutely no change in my handicap due to the coach being out.
Last thing to mention, by the way, Rutgers on the season, 8-3 to the over when they are on the road. We could certainly see some points here in this game against the Wolverines. That'll be a fun one to follow. Now, another game in the ACC where the anticipation, you would say, won't be points. Wasn't the case last time these teams met. Duke, Virginia. I'm actually really excited for this breakdown, Donnie. Just for, you know, and if people that have kind of hung out with us consistently will understand this, the last time Virginia and Duke played, DRS lined the game up and found his way on a Virginia team total over. As an 11-point dog, they went to Duke, won outright, and certainly smashed through their team total that was under a 60 marker. Right, and Donnie, that's using a lot of the numbers that you typically like to look at. I'm now fascinated to see, as Virginia's at home, 5-point favorite, totals 129.5, if you come to the same conclusion, or something different for this ACC game.
It's identical. It's an identical cap. And sometimes we look at it. Duke is a way better overall team than Virginia, if you're just looking at it from a national standpoint for most people, and rightfully so. They're more talented. They have the better record. They should do more damage in March Madness. But then you look at styles that make fights. And sometimes you see even boxers like, hey, man, I don't want you fighting that southpaw. It's not a good style for you here. Oh, hold on. I'm a much better guy. But hold on. Hey, he throws one of those punches here that you don't see and not used to. He could catch you. Same thing with Virginia. It's why we talked about it in the first game. It just makes so much sense. Forget about Duke. Duke's number one on offense in efficiency in ACC, number one on defense. Let's take that out of the equation, because Virginia, not known for a pretty style of basketball on offense. It's slowing it down and making the right shots. But again, Kevin, we have 15 teams, once again, in ACC competition. You know who's 15th at actually volume shooting the three-point line? Same thing here. Hasn't changed since the last two times these teams played. Virginia, they don't care about the three-point line. So if we take a look at Duke, who's like, you know what? We're never going to let you shoot a three-point shot. Virginia sits back and goes, we don't want to shoot three-point shots here. So if you're looking at Duke's defense saying, hey, most people like to use the three-point shot as the ultimate equalizer, Virginia doesn't care. Now let's take a look at point distribution. Again, look at this matchup here. Number one in conference play, Virginia, at scoring inside the arc. Their point distribution, Kevin, 61%. If we take a look at Duke's defense, you know what they give up? They're number one in ACC play at letting you score inside of the arc, 61%. So if my strength is scoring inside the arc, your weakness is letting me score inside the arc. Your strength is defending the three-point line, and we don't give a damn about the three-point line. Because take a look at the point distribution from the three-point line, Kevin. Because some people don't shoot a lot but make a lot. You're looking at Virginia, 15th out of 15 teams at scoring behind the arc. You know what Duke is? Number one in conference play at not letting you score behind the arc. It's a perfect matchup for Virginia. My cap doesn't change, Kevin, from the first game with Duke of Virginia to the second game here. Virginia is going to be absolutely live in this one once again.
Man, it's really excited to watch this play out. I think, we saw last time, Virginia has that ability to throw off a young team like Duke, and they did that last time. Twice this season, the Cavs have been a home dog. Both times, they have won outright. You take a look right now at Virginia. They were 12-9, struggling, middling. They are now 17-10, playing much better basketball. You look at the net rankings, though, outside of the top 80, KenPom rankings, outside of the top 70. Bracketology does not have them in the first four out or the next four out. But if they beat Duke tonight and sweep that team, they're probably going to be favored to handle their business against Florida State and Louisville to close out the season. This team could finish then 20-10, 14-6 in ACC play, slap another ACC tournament win on top of that, Donnie, and all of a sudden Virginia, with the pedigree that they come with, could make a case come tournament time, but I don't know if they can do that without a win here at Duke tonight. And I do think, Don, we're at the point in time where you have to try and factor in that bracket motivation for teams.
Yeah, there is going to be bracket motivation. Talk about motivation, me saying Virginia. Virginia is only a fun team when you bet on them to win a game. But outside of that, if you're not betting on Virginia, it's one of those teams where sometimes I hope don't even make the NCAA tournament because of the brand of basketball they play. But as I said, money is money, and if it makes sense, just because you have a bias, I'm not taking Virginia. I don't even like the way they play. Don't do that to yourself. Play those games where you think you have an advantage. And tonight, again, the same way as the first game. They have an advantage against Duke, which is crazy because Duke's the best team in the ACC on both offense and defense, and still, it might not matter.
A lot of good games in college basketball tonight, including the Providence game that we talked about. A very eye-catching number on the Friars. Also, some big games in the SEC. We break it all down next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The odds to win the ACC suggest this is a one-man show. The Duke Blue Devils right now at -1,000 to win the regular season. Their current ACC record is 13-3. Notre Dame not far off, though. 12-4. The big thing for the Blue Devils is that they do have a head-to-head victory over Notre Dame. So the Fighting Irish, we need to go unbeaten, and you would need to see Duke drop two games. However, if the Blue Devils do lose tonight at Virginia, this gets a little bit more interesting right now. And I will say this does feel like it is only down to two teams in this race. It's just the way it jumps off a little bit here. Maybe the U, depending on some tiebreaker situations. But of course, Donnie, this also means Notre Dame has to handle their business. And they've got an interesting game tonight. After losing at Wake Forest, Notre Dame will be hosting Syracuse as a 5-point favorite here, total in the mid-140s. Notre Dame has been a sneaky team all season long that I don't feel like we've heard discussed quite a bit. What do you think about their matchup tonight against Jim Boeheim and the Syracuse?
Yeah, Notre Dame has been a pretty sneaky team. You know, it's sort of in the background. Also, take a look at the ACC standings there. You know, Miami of Florida here listed as the third overall. Now, granted, they're 50-1, but still, Miami in the top two of three along with Notre Dame and Duke is kind of interesting to see. Do some background on this game overall. 15-12 Syracuse here. Notre Dame 19-8, 9-7 Syracuse in conference play. Notre Dame 12-4. But also, how about this? Coming into the game hot, right, Kevin? Won 6 of 7 games here for Syracuse, and then for Notre Dame, won 9 out of 11. Now, here's what I like about this game. It's the three-point shot. Take a look at Syracuse's offense here. 15th overall in two-point shot attempts here. So going up against number two where you can score inside the arc. But also, taking a look here at Notre Dame. That's what I want to focus on. Notre Dame's offense, number one in the conference at volume for shooting the three-point shot. There's 15 teams, Kevin, in the ACC. You know what Syracuse does? 15th overall in volume that way. So you're looking at a team that says, we shoot more than anybody else behind the arc. And Syracuse says, we're going to let you shoot more than anybody else. And the reason being here is why it makes a lot of sense. Take a look at distribution of points here. Number two in conference play at scoring volume from behind the arc. And if you take a look at Syracuse's defense here, they are number one overall at letting you score from behind the arc. So we just talked about the UVA game versus Duke where you say to yourself, hey, hold on now. This team doesn't want to shoot three-pointers. The other team defends it. This is the perfect storm for Notre Dame. If they're shooting even on their average, which keep in mind, sometimes we see it, Kevin. Take a look at some of these lower-level conferences where it's all about the three-point shot. They'll shoot like 55% of their shots from behind the arc, but only make like 31%. Look at Notre Dame, two in conference play at close to 39%, which is incredible. So if you're going to tell me I get Notre Dame that's going to be shooting at will from three-point range and they have an average night from behind the arc, they should be able to win going away tonight. I like Notre Dame. Even though Syracuse is a good team, they have the ability to shoot over that matchup 2-3 zone, and it's a perfect style for them. Give me Notre Dame tonight.
Man, it's a fun breakdown there. There is something about watching a team get hot behind the arc against Syracuse, and they just kind of have no chance. They just have no hope. They're like, all right, we'll just keep watching them pass it on the three-point line, and they just keep bombing away, and the Orange are like, at some point they won't figure out the zone. I'm like, no, they figured it out. They're just going to keep shooting threes, and you're done. And that's just the way that it works sometimes. Moving on to the Providence game here. Man, you want to talk about a Xavier line. Now, it's moving maybe a little bit in the Friars' direction here, Donnie. But I know that this, at one point, was a 1.5. Now, I believe 2.5 here. Total 138.5. Providence needs to hold on to these games before they travel to Villanova, which could be the decider when we talk about the Big East regular season championship here. 22-3, and yet the numbers still don't seem to be all that complimentary to Providence. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I like to say interesting is the right word for this one, because this is one of those where if you're looking from a Providence perspective, they're only favored by 1.5 at home. Knowing Villanova lost and now the Big East regular season championship is in your sights, it just goes to show you where the numbers don't want to take into the emotionality of the game, saying one team really would love this because they can clinch the basically Big East. I think if they win this game, they're probably going to end up doing that because you can still lose to Villanova. Let's take a look at the styles in this. Here's the interesting. Providence's defense, Kevin, if we have 11 teams in the Big East, they're dead last at turning the basketball over, or should I say forcing the other team to turn the basketball over. On the same strength here, Xavier is number one in conference playing the Big East at not turning it over. So what does that mean once again? You're going to end up getting quality shots and also the turnaround buckets. What I mean by that is, how many times do you see it? Getting your offense jump-started. Picked off pass in the lane leads to a 3-on-1 fast break. You get the easy points there. If you're not getting those, it's much harder to operate in the half court. But let's take a look at talking about operating in the half court and why this makes sense from a Xavier perspective here. Again, 11 teams in the Big East, Kevin. They're 10th in conference play. Talking about Xavier, volume from behind the arc, which matches up with Providence because why? They chase you off the arc. Number three in conference play, Kevin, at not letting you get off those three-point shots. But here's the mark which makes the most sense for me. Point distribution here. Number two in conference play inside the arc at scoring is Xavier. Number two in conference play at letting you score inside the arc is Providence. So that style makes a lot of sense here. So if we're looking at both of these teams, two good teams and the way they match up, it's just interesting to see if we're just line shopping and looking at the line itself. This tells me Xavier is going to be a player in this game, and those statistical reasons tell you why. They match up fairly well with Providence's defense, Kevin.
Man, it's interesting. I feel as if there's a lot of numbers that say, you know, teams can match up well with Providence. But it's a team, Donnie, that's just all year long they figure it out, right? That luck metric on KenPom has them number one with a bullet. Well, sometimes they say it's better to be lucky than good. Man, this team's 14-1 at home. 15-1 is a favorite here. You want Xavier to go on the road and beat this group? We'll see. But Providence, look, the minus 134 on the money line is very, very palatable to me on Providence compared to the 2.5 points, because it wouldn't surprise me if this is a 1 or 2 point win. That's how Providence likes to get down. Very, very close games, and then they just find a way. Should be a fun game to follow there on Providence, no doubt about it. I'm interested to see if they do repost these Big East odds at some point and how Providence has shifted potentially in terms of their status as the favorite. We talked about Donnie maybe trying to bet Villanova after a loss at UConn. It depends on what the number is going to look like there. I want to talk certainly at least about one game in the SEC, and that is Kentucky-LSU. Now, there's an interesting game with Auburn, Ole Miss, just because Auburn off the loss, huge favorite. Do they get back, you know, to rolling a team there? But Kentucky-LSU is, to me, very interesting, Donnie, for a different reason. These teams played earlier in SEC play. Kentucky had a considerable lead in the second half. Ultimately, didn't score, it felt like, in the last 10 minutes of the basketball game almost there. And LSU won and covered as a two-point favorite. You look at where these two teams are now. Kentucky is positioned as the second choice to win the national championship. And LSU is 500 in conference play. Kentucky laying 7.5 points, a total at 142.5. What do you make of this SEC rematch?
Leaning towards LSU and saying, man, Kentucky's a really good basketball team. Well, there's some things that come into play also. You take a look at a 7.5-point spread there, which Kentucky, can they cover it? Sure they can. But also, keep in mind, some injury situations to keep about tonight. You know, Ty Washington, we'll see. He missed the last game. We'll see if he plays tonight, as well as Wheeler. Now, if you take a look at two guys that play a prominent part that might not be in there, sure, you'd be looking to LSU. But that lead, or should I say that spread, is still a little bit high. But here's what I'm focus on. Kentucky's offense is very good, Kevin. Number one overall in efficiency in SEC play. Number one in not turning the basketball over. Number one at making the three-point shot. They are incredible. But if when I'm taking a look at see what makes sense here, they don't shoot a lot of three-point shots. 13 out of 14 teams in distribution for that. Here's the reason why it makes it a little bit hard here to take Kentucky for me. The way you beat LSU is by the three-point line. They let you shoot from volume more than any other team in SEC play. So if you're going to tell me right now Kentucky's going to change their stripes, Kevin, and fire away from three-point range, making 39% of the threes, they'll blow LSU off the court. But usually, as we say, Tigers don't change their stripes here. Now let's take a look at the impact of how that makes sense. Let's look at from the two-point range, which basically, again, means inside the arc. Look at the point distribution for Kentucky. Third overall in conference play at close to 57% of their point distribution comes from inside the arc, which is great because if they don't shoot a lot of three-point shots, you want to see the scoring inside. But take a look here at defending. LSU, Kevin, 14th out of 14 teams at not letting you score inside the arc. So if you can tell me Kentucky's going to change their game and their profile and drain three after three and shoot from volume, they should handle it. But I'm under the estimation here. If we have a couple injuries from Kentucky that don't play tonight, and also coupled with the fact that LSU's defense fits very well against the mold of Kentucky, they're going to be in it. Now, one thing that we do know for sure is LSU doesn't have a very efficient offense, dead last in the SEC. So points will be a premium anyway. But if I'm just looking from an analytical standpoint here of a matchup between a very good offense and LSU's defense, I think LSU matches up very well. I'll take the points in this game in the SEC tonight.
I think it can make sense here. And also, you look at the total, right, that 142.5. LSU on the season, Donnie, is 17-10 to the under. They've gone over in seven of their last eight games. The caveat, though, is when you look at the numbers that they were playing there, 130.5, 125.5, 127.5, 132, 133.5, a couple of 140s in the mix certainly here, but LSU were playing some overs as I think those numbers start to get very, very adjusted. Because again, if you're 17-10 under, but you just went 7 of 8 over, you can do the math. This team basically, every single time they stepped out onto the floor, were cashing under tickets. It started to regress a little bit the other way, but for LSU, they're going to try to keep this a little bit tighter. We know that, and certainly, Donnie, you're feeling as if they have that opportunity here in this game. It can make sense. Last time these teams did play, the final score, 65-60. Kentucky able to survive with that depleted backcourt against Bama, against the number three team of defensive efficiency on KenPom and LSU. Maybe it's a little bit different, and under in this spot certainly could line up. We'll pack up college basketball and get you set for the NBA, which will be returning tomorrow, all right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Let's button up college basketball. Quickly want to let you know, Auburn and Ole Miss is certainly, I think, one to watch here. Auburn off that loss versus Florida. Return home as a huge, huge favorite versus Ole Miss. 15.5, but the total does catch my eye at 140.5. Coming off the loss, coming off of a really down offensive performance, Auburn is the kind of team that can soar into the mid-80s, and Ole Miss we've seen now play four straight over in five of their last six. It's a comparable thought process to what worked last night in that Kansas-Kansas State game for the over there. Multiple pathways towards covering, which is Auburn again into the mid-80s. Ole Miss keeping it a little bit closer than that 15.5 would suggest. That's one more game in the SEC to follow. But one other game on this slate, Donnie, that is catching your eye is Furman and Samford. Now, this is one of those games where I'm seeing Samford on the card. Last time Samford was in action, it was versus the Citadel. The Citadel had your eye. You were robbed. It is what it is. What's jumping out, though, here with a big-time total at 148.5?
Yeah, the over. The over is actually jumping out here, not just specifically a team total from either side. Now, Furman's offense, number one in conference play. Furman's defense, also number one in conference play. So, hey, might not be a good thing to go up against the number one rated defense. Well, we've done so in the past, and we're doing it again tonight as we go up against Duke in the ACC. But let's take a look at this game here. Point distribution, right? You took a look at styles that make fights. We talk about these type of conferences, the lower-level teams here. How about this, Kevin? 55% of the shots that Furman takes are behind the three-point line. They make that at about 37% clip, which is amazing. There's 10 teams in this conference here, and they're seventh at defending here for Samford. So when we take a look at, you know, going Southern Conference style here, a lot of these teams are going to shoot three-point shots, and rightfully so. Point distribution matches up equally here. But let's take a look at Samford's offense, Kevin. As I said, there's 10 teams in this conference. They're seventh overall, going up against the number one defense. You say, boy, that doesn't leave a lot to be desired here. If you take a look at three-point shots, eighth in conference play at volume, talking about Samford. And if we flip it over to Furman's defense, Kevin, they're number one at chasing you off the line. Just hold on now, Donnie. He's trying to get after three-point range here down in this conference, and this team's trying to chase you off the line. But here's again where styles make fights here. Let's take a look at point distribution. Number one inside the arc in this conference is Samford at scoring. Do you know who also is number one at letting you score inside the arc? That's the Furman defense. So on one side, three balls are going to be raining down with Furman. And on the opposite side, Samford's going, hey, we'll shoot some three-point shots. We do damage inside the arc. So instead of me looking towards a team total, I think the styles make the fight in this. And we're going to have a pretty good fight here with some decent tempo. I'm going to go over the total in this game, hoping for 3 points on one side and continuous fast breaks and layups on the other side, Kevin.
There you go. There's your college basketball breakdown. Yeah. The Bulldogs and the Paladins. It's a paladin, oh, yeah,
from the Hannah Center.
Am I supposed to know what a paladin? Am I supposed to know what a paladin is? Do you know what a paladin is?
I don't know. Maybe like a knight. I mean, maybe like a warrior knight. I don't know. Sounds about right. Maybe it
seems,
could be wrong. It's probably a
seems to be a video game. I'm not following along the plan here for Furman.
It's the Basement Brigade. What it is.
Yeah. They might have an idea. Someone has paladins in the basement. That's a good point by you. Now, we transition over to the NBA, DRS, as we're getting set for the second half. I got to say,
yes.
It feels odd to say second half when there's only like a third of the season left, but people understand what we're saying here. Post-All-Star break, NBA. They're already posting All right, now, I hate to get off the beaten track because, it's in Donnie's contract that I must stick to the rundown. But, Donnie, the Thursday lines are already out, right? Yesterday, DRS and myself were on Moneyline. We're reacting a little bit to some of these early lines there. Of course, we'll break these down tomorrow. And we'll break them down tomorrow, so I don't mean to jump the shark, but I can't help myself, Donnie. The Suns-Oklahoma City Thunder game, yesterday we see a 9.5 spot, and we're a little bit surprised by that. Feels a little strong for Phoenix. Down here, the Suns are laying 11 without Chris Paul in OKC tomorrow. 11?
I mean, did Josh Giddey go back to Australia and stay there after the All-Star break? Like, what's the point of this? I don't understand. Like, this is a really good basketball team, Phoenix, and I understand they should get respect. But are you telling me this line is like 15 if Chris Paul plays? On the road?
First game after a break? I don't understand the vision. Are we going to really have to go?
I mean, with Lou Dort
get in the mix?
Pictures like TMZ has Lou Dort just popping off over the break, like he's not doing anything but, like, you know, hanging out at the clubs. Like, what gives on this one? What gives? A double-digit spread here?
Like, also, did the Thunder already, like, do their mandated Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you're not allowed to play the second half of the season thing already?
Oh,
like,
boy.
I mean, really. Like, you want to talk about someone that's, like, absolutely allowed to request it. Maybe SGA loves it, Donnie. You know, everyone, you like, they like the joke is the best job in all of sports is the backup quarterback. Is the second best job being Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who gets to do whatever he wants in Oklahoma City, and then after the All-Star break doesn't have to play anymore? I mean, what is the deal here, man? That's all right. There you go.
You might be on to something, though. That might be what it is. It really is.
Yeah. You know what? Let me bring this up quickly. Oklahoma City, Donnie, live win totals, 24.5. 24.5. They're 18-40. Can they win 7 games the rest of the way, Donnie? I mean,
no, and they don't want to. They don't want to. That's the whole point behind it. That might be it. Now, we're looking maybe at the wrong ends. We're going to bring up the Sixers and the Bucks, and we've been talking about, like, teams making a press towards the championship. Maybe we should be looking at the bottom standings, where those teams aren't even trying to win and still got to win, like, 6 or 7 games.
How about Detroit, Donnie? How about Detroit with 13 wins already on the board, over under 18.5?
No shot.
6 wins? DRS, I got to be able to get 6 wins.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like an owner that might be reaching out to this head coach saying, I'll give you $100,000 per loss at this point so we can get the number one overall pick. A lot of that going around in professional sports, and I could see it happening here in the NBA.
I mean, what if they – like, Don, like, they come out of the gates, they pull an upset over the Cavs, man, game number one. I mean, you're cooking with grease all of a sudden on an over 18.5. They got to be able to get you 6 – stop. Wait, hold on. Give me one more chance here. What's Orlando? I love this. People are going to be mad in the back. Don't you guys have a rundown? Yeah, we do, man. What's it to you? Leave it alone. We'll get there when we get there. We're talking what people are wanting. Orlando's 19.5. What's the Orlando edge? Cut that out. Under Orlando. What's Houston's number here? 21.5. 21.5 is like a lot for the Rockets. I don't really like it.
I assume some of these teams are actually going to play each other. I cannot wait to see what actually happens in those games where it's like, now, hold on here. No starters in the fourth quarter and it's 74-74. What is going on between these teams? That's coming down the stretch here. So as much as we like to point towards the good teams and making a run, the bad teams are equally as fun to watch and try to say, who's actually tanking more at this point?
I might take the Pistons over in the same way that I had my Duke Blue Devil football over. Which should have won, by the way, and I maintain that. Still, I might just take the Pistons over 18.5 and just get in the mix there. I'll have to break it down a little bit more and see what makes some sense here, though. You want to talk win totals. You want to talk good teams. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia 76ers, Milwaukee Bucks. Why do I bring them up? Well, Philly, 2.5 back of the one seed. Milwaukee, 2.5 back of the one seed. Two of the top three names when we talk about the race for the MVP. And you've also got two of the top three teams when we talk about the race to win the Eastern Conference. Right now, you have the Philadelphia 76ers with a listed win total. Donnie checking in at 50.5. You have the Milwaukee Bucks with a listed win total checking in at 50.5. If you were going to bet one of these two teams, Donnie, who would it be? And in which direction is perhaps a little bit more enticing here with Philly and Milwaukee?
You know, it's interesting because you try to break it down, right? Sixers win total 50.5, and you said the Bucks also at 50.5. You take a look, you know, 35-23, 36-24, respectively, between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Bucks. My first inclination tells me I want to take the Sixers because heading down the stretch in order to get their team total is 16-8. Healthy team, getting James Harden, they should be able to kick it right into gear. But again, you still have those contrarian thoughts, Kevin, right? Saying, well, what happens if they don't kick it into gear and James Harden, who obviously may have had a real hamstring injury, dings that up again and the Sixers go extra cautious here heading down the stretch to make sure he's healthy enough for the playoffs, knowing that they're already going to make the playoffs. It always leads me back to the Bucks because Giannis, you know, we saw him last year at what, in the NBA Finals, or I should say the Eastern Conference Finals. looked like his leg snapped in half and it was going to be like, oh no, he's going to miss an entire year with a bad knee injury. Not the case here. That guy's pretty durable. And heading down the stretch, do I trust Milwaukee's championship pedigree a little bit more than the Philadelphia 76ers? Because heading down the stretch, they got to go 15-7, which is doable. Both of these teams, if they stay healthy and things go right, they should easily take those down and win 16 games and 15 games respectively here. But if you're asking me from my standpoint of who I actually would trust more, I'm rooting for the Sixers. I think it works out wonderfully with James Harden if he's healthy and things click over the next 20 or so games. But if I'm looking from a standpoint where I know really, Kevin, what I'm going to get out of the remaining part of the season, maybe trusting the Milwaukee Bucks a little bit more to hit their team total than the Philadelphia 76ers, who might have a little bit of growing pains here with James Harden parachuting in over the final 20-plus games.
Funny enough, I see it the other way. Milwaukee has the most difficult strength of schedule remaining of anybody in the NBA. And the reason I guess I feel the other way is Milwaukee yet last year as the, you know, not the top spot in the NBA, had they had been the 2 years prior, found their way towards an NBA championship. I think there is, for the Milwaukee Bucks, look, you of course want to be the one seed, Donnie, but I think there's a little bit more of, we're all right. We're fine. We're in the playoffs, and people have to beat us, not the other way around. Where for the Sixers, Donnie, there is going to be a push to make sure that this works. And I think it will work, because I think right now Joel Embiid is one of the most unstoppable forces in the NBA, and I think he and Harden will be just fine. And although I am a little bit worried about injury, I think you have a spot now where if Embiid does miss a couple games, I have James Harden. And if Harden misses a couple of games, I have Joel Embiid. Let's not forget the last thing that we saw before the All-Star break. 123-120, Sixers in Milwaukee. And here's the last thing, Donnie. Now, this is not a perfect exercise because it's a lot of games. Rest gets in the way, and injury can mess things up. But if you take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers' remaining games here, Donnie, how many games are they going to be a dog in of the 24? I would say at Miami. I would say at Phoenix, certainly. And Lakers, maybe. Home against the Bucks. I mean, Donnie, this team legitimately looks to be favored in maybe 20 of their final 24 games. Not a perfect system, but it gives you an idea of what sits there in front of the Sixers. And maybe the most important part, Donnie, is how they close this out, the final seven. If they need to push for the one seed and push your team total over the button there, Detroit, Charlotte, Cleveland, Indiana, Toronto, Indiana, Detroit there for the 76ers. That's the stretch, Donnie, where you can really start to make ground on that over 50.5.
You're right. Maybe the only times that technically, Kevin, they're not going to be favored are one of those, you know, load management nights that we talk about for maybe Joel Embiid or James Harden. Maybe you say to yourself, hey, we'll take those load management games against like Phoenix or a team that maybe the Miami Heat where say, hey, look, we might lose this game, but the other ones will sort of press that lever. It's going to be fun to watch it play out, and it starts right back up tomorrow night as the NBA gets back into play, and I'm looking forward to that, Kevin.
Very, very excited. Six games tomorrow in the NBA. Five home dogs. It is going to be a fun slate to break down on a Thursday and continuing to keep our eye on college basketball. Up next, the early line is closed out with Listen Up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day right here on the early line, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network with myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall setting the table as usual before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens. Today is Listen Up and time is running out. So please, Major League Baseball, listen up. Seems like a daily plea from me here on Listen Up, and every couple days I try to sneak in the Major League Baseball labor terms and arguments, and I can't seem to get out of my own way here because sometimes I just don't understand why baseball continues to do this to us. Now, me being a better, actually like the warmer conditions here. Not so much a fan of April baseball betting where there's flurries in the forecast in some cities and postponements and rainouts. Let's wait till we get some, you know, May, June, and July weather where those hitting conditions do pop up. But I have to tell you, we're taking a look at the competitive balance tax and how that's going to, you know, go over, and the players don't want such a high tax because then obviously that the owners don't want to pay into the luxury tax, and therefore player salaries will be lower and lower. And it seems like they're so far off. But when we take a look at the, you know, collective bargaining agreement as a whole, we've been locked out for 80 days at this point now, or 80 plus days. Like, when are we going to start negotiating what it means business here? Are we going to wait till we wipe out the entire spring training schedule and say, hey, we have to have a forced spring training in April, which leads us out all the way through April and into May when we finally get opening day? Why do this to yourself, baseball? Can't you work these things out? And it's not even a strike from the players or the collective bargaining agreement ended. It's just the owners locking them out saying, we don't like the billions that we're making. We want even more money. Come to an agreement here, because this is one of the sports here that can't afford another labor stoppage, which looks like we are heading towards at this time. Sit down at the table, spend more than 5 or 10 minutes arguing between each other, and come up with real agreements here, and not moving $5,000 off of the minimum salary here for Major League Baseball, or coming down, you know, within a $50 million gap of the collective bargaining agreement on the competitive balance tax, which is the luxury tax. Enough is enough. I don't want to come on here with listen up and waste my time any more here than I need to. You know what you're not going to waste your time on? Staying here with the grid here and listening to Ben Stevens coming up here on the morning after. For the early line, we'll catch you tomorrow.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Sleep Number's new collections are designed to adapt to the changing nature of your life and your sleep needs. Whether it's the personalized comfort of the new Comfort Mode mattress, the targeted pressure relief of the Comfort Next mattress, or the Climate Collection that actively cools or warms to help you fall asleep and stay asleep.
And now, get early access to our biggest sale of the year. Save 25% on the new Comfort Next Luxe for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.